This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
With a couple of positive housing reports out, should we be encouraged about the real estate market?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The number of new homes people started to build was up in November, more than expected. Couple that with news from RealtyTrack that there were 21% fewer foreclosure filings for the month, and you could be thinking the housing market's on the rebound, right? But the number of permits for future home construction is still weak. We have a couple of reports now. Marketplace's Janet Babin tells us the foreclosure drop is mostly about paperwork issues. And then we're going to hear from Marketplace's Elisa Roth and how some say RealtyTrack numbers should be taken with a grain of salt.
Federal and state investigations into questionable mortgage lender practices are what reduced a lot of foreclosures around the country, like the robo-signers, those people who signed foreclosure documents without ever actually verifying information. RealtyTrack's Rick Sharga says the only people who benefit from the stall are homeowners facing imminent foreclosure.
From an economic standpoint, this stall is actually bad news, because what it does now is it delays the processing of these properties out into the marketplace where they really need to be pushed and then resold.
When the foreclosure issues are resolved, the backlog will likely clear and the numbers are expected to jump back up. Sharga says all this uncertainty will only delay the housing recovery, and that's a drag on the overall economy. In New York, I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
I'm Elisa Roth, also in New York. There's another reason the foreclosure numbers we just heard don't tell the whole story. Counting foreclosures is a tricky business. In fact, unlike other economic data like jobs or inflation, there's no official government body whose job it is to keep track of them. So we rely on private stats. With RealtyTrack, the biggest question is the way it counts foreclosures. If a homeowner gets one notice in October, another one in November, and a third in December, say, each of those notices will show up in the tally for the corresponding month. Foreclosure experts, analysts, and academics and the like say the best way to get an accurate view of foreclosures is to use as many sources of data as possible. So by all means, pay attention to today's numbers, but consider them just one source. In New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Markets right now are mixed. The S&P is pretty much flat. The same for the Nasdaq. Nasdaq's barely up about 0.2%. The Dow down now 8 points at 11,449. The Labor Department said today first-time jobless claims were pretty much flat last week. FedEx reported a quarterly profit this morning that missed Wall Street expectations, but the company did report holiday business is booming. Monday was its busiest day ever. European markets are flat at the moment as well. All the talk of European debt continues to weigh on global stock markets today. The Chinese Premier Wen Jiabao is in India, continuing a trade mission there, agreeing on a target of $100 billion in trade between the Asian powers within the next 5 years. The BBC's Sanjoy Majumdar is in New Delhi, and he joins us with the latest. Hi, Sanjoy.
Hello.
What have these two countries been talking about on this trade visit?
Well, primarily business. They've agreed to increase their already considerable trade relationship, aiming to cross about $100 billion by 2015. And they've also been trying to talk about outstanding political differences.
How likely is it that these two economies, these are pretty big economies, could combine their strength and compete with the United States?
It's something I think they both recognize and are working towards. They have very complementary strengths. Chinese are leaders in manufacturing. Indians, of course, in services and IT and back office applications. And together they can make a formidable team. And already we've seen them come together on a number of issues around the world, world trade talks and climate change, for instance.
Relations between China and India haven't always been that good, Sandra. What are some stumbling blocks to those two getting together?
A number of issues, a long, bitter border row, which has yet to be resolved. The Chinese don't like the presence of the Dalai Lama, the Tibetan spiritual leader in India. And of course, the two countries are competing regionally to become regional powers, which in some ways pits them against each other.
The BBC's Sanjoy Majumdar in New Delhi. Sanjoy, thanks.
Okay.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Novo Nordisk. Since 1923, innovative developer of diabetes treatments and delivery devices at novonordisk-us.com. By the Henry Luce Foundation, seeking to increase American understanding of East and Southeast Asia. And by Vanguard, whose mission is to simplify investing and to help people reach their financial goals at vanguard.com/public radio.
So there's not much time left for medical beneficiaries. They have until the end of the year to switch drug plans. A lot of times, seniors will turn to their pharmacists for advice about that, but some pharmacy chains may have a bit of a conflict of interest. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer explains.
Sometimes insurance companies make deals with pharmacies. Drugstores are rewarded for steering seniors to certain Medicare drug plans, but their customers don't know that. So they may not be getting unbiased advice when they ask their pharmacist to recommend a plan. Wendell Potter is a former insurance executive turned consumer advocate.
So it's very important to know that these relationships exist. Sometimes they could even be to the advantage of the Medicare beneficiary.
Or not. Walgreens has been accused by insurance company Humana of listing inflated drug prices on a website. The site was supposed to help consumers compare plans. Walgreens has since taken it down. Small independent pharmacists are touting themselves as honest brokers. Kathleen Yeager is CEO of the National Community Pharmacists Association.
They know the medical history and is provided the patient tells, you know, the pharmacist, but they certainly know their medication history.
But even Yeager says read the fine print before you sign up for a Medicare drug plan. You can compare them at Medicare.gov. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
And finally, you may have heard the consumer advocacy group, the Center for Science in the Public Interest, has filed a lawsuit against McDonald's, claiming the fast food giant uses deceptive advertising to woo children in. Things like toys in its Happy Meals that drive kids to pester their parents to go to Mickey D's where they then eat high-fat, high-sodium food. Well, what's next to entice the kids? A spokesman that's a clown? Check us out online at marketplace.org. You can grab the podcast while you're there, check the numbers throughout the day, and share your thoughts. You can follow me on Twitter, Radio Chio. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
So here are some ideas to improve worker productivity. How about naps at the office or sports television breaks every hour? Sounds crazy, but it works.
What for sure we've seen are the different divisions of the company working together in a way that they never had before.
I'm Kai Rizdal, breaking bad office habits from the top down, next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.